I always thought I'd write a book about my life towards the end of my life, like General Ulysses S. Grant did or Charlie Chaplin did. But I have noticed that a number of people, maybe lots of people, have done autobiographies in the middle of their lives, or even several autobiographies over different slices of their lives. I came to the conclusion that I didn't really know what the rules are for this. I think I'm a really boring person. I think I am naturally boring. Probably most of us are. Interesting people, too, probably decided at some point in life that they were boring and wanted to be more interesting. Like Che Guevara, who was a medical student, a little bit boring, and then Thornaberry became a revolutionary and became way more interesting. Billy Connolly, the great Scottish comedian, who really influenced my work, used to say in his stand-up material that he did certain things to make himself windswept and interesting. I identify with that. It's bonkers that in this world some people are just trying to live and exist while I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I've done some interesting things, and now I'm going to write an autobiography, which is really a biography about a car, if you think about it. But that is the situation I find myself in. I've done a certain number of things in my life and have now reached an age and a state of mind where I've come to reflect on those things. And some people want me to write them down or even talk them out of my mouth. Yes. It was at the end of the documentary Believe, the Eddie Izzard story. Footnote. So there's Believe, the Eddie Izzard story, the documentary. And this is Believe Me, a memoir of love, death, and jazz chicken. So they both got Believe It, and they sort of cross over. One's the video. It's not the same. They should blend together in some way. Anyway, end of footnote. So it was in Believe, the Eddie Izzard story, the documentary, when Sarah Townsend, the director, who had been shooting interviews with me for some time, said that I never really say anything. And I thought, well, I'm up for saying lots of things. But maybe I was being guarded, or trying to make everything very palatable or funny, and therefore I never seemed to say anything that really cut through the mist of being a performer, an actor, and a personality of some sort. Then, towards the end of the film, I started talking about my mother, who died when I was 6, and that's when I said something revelatory. I said, I know why I'm doing all this. Everything I do in life is trying to get her back. I think if I do enough things, that maybe she'll come back. I remember that when I said those words in the film, I didn't really feel like it was me talking, because it wasn't my conscious brain talking. It was my subconscious brain, and for some reason it was saying, here's what's really going on. Here is a note to yourself. Something like that. Footnote here. It really was an odd moment, because I remember it as getting a flash of, oh, I understand. But when I think back on the moment, I still don't quite understand. It's really odd. It's like the subconscious brain said, here's the information. And now, because I'm back in the conscious world, and ever since I said it, I look back and I go, wow, is that what's going on? And it probably is what's going on, but it's a curious thing. Anyway, end of footnote. So, I think it is true. I think that trying to bring my mother back is at the base of everything I'm doing and everything I've ever done. On top of that, of course, there is also ego and a love of adventure and trying to be, as Mr. Billy C. would say, windswept and interesting. But it's quite a moment in the film, and it was quite a moment in my life. So, this book is intended to give you a chance to sit in my head behind my eyes for a bit. I'm trying to share thoughts and feelings that I may not have covered in the documentary, the Believe documentary, and that I don't normally talk about in my stand-up. In a way, I've tried to live my life as a film. I'm trying to do interesting things so that somebody notices, or so that maybe my mother notices, from beyond the mists of the living. Real life is actually a lot of boring things with occasional spikes of interest. If you look at films of people's lives, they tend to focus on only one aspect of it because the whole life doesn't quite work as a story. Footnote, think of Churchill. You've got Churchill's early years, builds up to a lot of failing, and then being an annoying war reporter, and then South Africa and the escape, and that's the punch. Then it all gets a bit weird because he joined the Conservative Party. You may not know this, kids at home, but he joined the Conservative Party, right? So he gets elected and you think, oh yeah, Churchill Conservative Party. 5 years, only 5 years. And then he's out. He's in the Liberal Party for 20 years, I think it was. And then he flipped back into the Conservative Party. So leaving a party is called ratting. Churchill, by politics definition, ratted twice, so is a double rat, is two levels of rat, but also has been voted the greatest Briton that's ever lived. And if you look at Churchill's life, it's all over the place. He made huge mistakes. The Dardanelles, what happened there? He was First Lord of the Admiralty, which means he was in charge of the Navy, and that was a massive failure. And then in the Second World War, he gets First Lord of the Admiralty again, after being out in the wilderness for a long time. And then Norway happened, and Norway was almost like the Dardanelles all over again. And he was in charge of that. And then, because it failed, there was a big fracas in the House of Commons. And then Lloyd George, who had been out of being Prime Minister almost since the First World War, for some long, long time, and he gets up and he tells Chamberlain to go. And he quotes a speech from Cromwell, for God's sake, go, telling bad MPs to leave. And then it flips back and he tells Chamberlain to go. And Chamberlain has a vote of confidence and he wins it, but he doesn't win it by enough, so he has to go. And then Churchill, who's just failed in Norway, takes over. There we go. This is a big long footnote, isn't it? But I know these things because I've looked at all these things. And the Churchill quote at the beginning is very interesting because no one really knows that. Couldn't we achieve so much together if we all just worked together? And right at the moment of doing this audiobook, 2017, there's Brexhate and Trumphate out in the world. And let's not work together. Let's run and hide. Let's build a wall. Let's hate the Muslims, hate the Jews, hate the immigrants, hate, 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 hate. Let's visit the 1930s once again. Very interesting that we've come all the way around to going back to that. 1930s, failed politics. Hatred doesn't work, kids. Anyway, very long footnote, right in the introduction. We haven't gone anywhere. Cool. But this is what you get with this audiobook. You get extra footnotes. But Churchill's life, if you look at it, it's a complete mess with some brilliant things. And yes, I was talking about the stories. 1940, they talk about the gathering storm. That's, Albert Finney. Look at that HBO film. That's building up to, it becomes First Lord of the Admiralty. Look at the end of that. And he says, I'm back again. I can't remember what Albert Finney's line is there, but he's in the First Lord of the Admiralty, in the, basically head of the Navy. Again, he's not head of the government. He's head of the Navy. And he doesn't become head of the government until May 1940. I think it's the day after the German Wehrmacht started their Blitzkrieg. And Blitzkrieg isn't even Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg was done by Napoleon first. And Napoleon did that because he copied Caesar. And Caesar did it because he copied Alexander the Great. There you go. And there's probably someone before Alexander the Great. It's just moving faster than the next guy. That's all it is, kids. Anyway, end of massive footnote. Back to the book. Yes, talking about people's lives. We know how we like our stories. They have to go down to the bottom at the end of the second act, down to the bottom of emotions. Oh my God, it's all going wrong at the end of the second act, and then come back up to win at the end of the third act. That's in a three-act play or three-act film. Could be five acts, whatever. Stories don't really have to be like that, but that does get our motors going. Oh no, it's not going to work. Yes, he's succeeded. He, she has succeeded. They have succeeded. That bird, that sandwich has succeeded, whatever it is. Trying not to be sexist here. I'm bringing sandwiches in as well. So real life doesn't play in the three-act way, which is why I'd like to thank Sarah Townsend, for making my life look interesting in the Believe documentary, even though my life is actually lots of boring bits with occasional spikes of interestingness. She took all the boring bits out.